Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful.
Everyone, it's Harriet from Physio My Dog here. Okay, so welcome to the first episode then of the little mini series I've put together, the What Is series. So if you may have heard the introduction, what I'm hoping to do, which was the previous episode, what I'm hoping to do is do an overview of different, just a really brief overview of some of the different conditions that I see on a daily basis. And in the show notes, I will put in some extra links, which I might reference as I talk along. But as I say, my real intention with this is to give you some more knowledge, have a little bit more of an idea about some of these things, so then you know where you're starting from ultimately. And then that can help hopefully inform some of the conversations that you have to have with different professionals, or maybe some of the research that you want to be doing. And hopefully maybe assist some of the decisions that you have to make, maybe initially, but also as things progress. So the very first one I was going to do was, elbow dysplasia. Or maybe we should actually call it elbow disease, because it's a bit of a funny one, the elbow. So firstly, what is it? So to keep things, I find it is easier to try and simplify things to start off with. That suits my brain. And sometimes it can, so if we know the foundation stuff, then we can build on that. So the elbow, if you look, if you kind of Google, or if you've got a skeleton of a dog, which I happen to have in my office, but if you Google kind of what a skeleton of a dog looks like, it will give you a bit more of an idea about what the elbow really looks like. It's quite complicated ultimately, because you've got three bones that are coming into a joint. So it's a hinge joint, which means it can flex, so it can bend. So if you think of your own elbow, so you can flex it, so which means that you're bending it, and then you're straightening it. So that's like a hinge joint. And into that joint, you've got three bones that are ultimately coming together. And so because you've got three bones coming together, you've kind of got a bit of a higher chance, really, that one of those bones isn't necessarily going to fit as nicely as we'd like it to. So ultimately, those three bones have to work together nicely. And if they don't work together nicely, then you've kind of got a condition of some sort. Now, elbow dysplasia, elbow obviously means it's in the elbow. Dysplasia as a word basically means abnormality, but it can sometimes not always be because of an abnormality. It can be sometimes because of another reason, which I won't get into, but the reason that some people call it, like for instance, Fitzpatrick's, they quite often call it elbow disease, because as I say, there's so many different parts to it. An elbow dysplasia or disease is basically like an umbrella term for different types, again, depending on which part of those three bones are really affected. So that's trying to make something quite complicated quite simple, but ultimately, as I say, you've got three bones that aren't playing nicely together. And so that's when you can start to have problems. So quite often, so the dogs have got elbows obviously on their front limbs, so they've got two, unless they've got an amputee, they've got two front legs. And quite often with elbow disease, both of those legs can be affected, but not always. But quite often they are. And what can often happen, and is often the case, but again, I don't like making assumptions and things like that, I'm quite big on that. You normally get one that is more affected than the other. And that's why sometimes, you know, they kind of look all right and then they're not. And something like dysplasia or elbow disease, whatever you want to call it, it's unfortunately what we call a degenerative condition, which means it just doesn't go. It doesn't go away. It's there. We just have to learn. We just have to manage it in some kind of capacity, and we have to treat it. So it's not something that, you know, they're given that diagnosis, and then they just wake up the next day and it's gone. It isn't that kind of condition. So unfortunately, with some of these types of degenerative conditions, it means that osteoarthritis is inevitable. And that is a whole other conversation. I'm going to do a separate podcast just on osteoarthritis, so listen out for that. So again, trying to keep this simple, and I'm trying to keep these to around about 15 minutes long. So firstly, we've got the name, elbow disease, elbow dysplasia. What are the signs? Okay, so again, if you think both of those front legs are most likely going to be affected, if that's the diagnosis. So what you can quite often tell is you might get intermittent lameness, like I say, depending on which leg is most affected. So sometimes they might look a bit funny on one leg, sometimes they might not look so good on the other one, or sometimes it's very obvious which one it is. And dogs naturally carry more of their body weight on their front end. So the textbook, now no one lives by a textbook, but a textbook would be 30% of their body weight would be in one front limb, 30% in the other front limb, and then 20% on each of their hind limbs. So that's the textbook way that dogs tend to naturally carry weight. But if they don't want to put as much weight through a limb because it hurts, then if they're lame on one of their front limbs, then you quite often will see like a head nod. So when they're moving, quite often when they're trotting, it's a bit more obvious, you'll see that their head's starting to go up and down. Again, if something hurts on the front end, we don't want to put lots of weight through it because it hurts. And so you might notice things like your dog not wanting to jump down or come, like maybe jump off the sofa, maybe jump out of the car, maybe go downstairs. Maybe they're not sniffing as much. Maybe they're not wanting to eat their food. Now, this is a classic one. One of my clients was telling me about how their dog never really wanted to drink any water in the house, but oh my goodness, they were always drinking water out of the pond, out of the fountain that went into the pond in their garden. And that's because the fountain was high up. So it meant that the dog didn't have to bend down, which meant that they were going to be putting more weight through their front limbs, which is why they weren't drinking outside, but they were drinking outside. So it's just one of those kinds of things. Now, that's not necessarily going to be the case for every single dog because everyone is different. Every dog is different. But these are just some of the signs that you may start to notice. And so because they are using their body differently, then you're going to start to notice, or maybe you won't start to notice, because sometimes if we're not looking out for the things, we just don't notice it. And then someone says, have you noticed that? And you're like, oh my God, how did I not notice that before? We've all been there, so don't give yourselves a hard time about that. But anyway, so a dog is going to start to change their posture as we do. So if you always think, okay, something hurt on one of my toes, for instance, so Steve, my partner, he gets gout sometimes. Hopefully he won't listen to this podcast, but he sometimes gets gout in one of his big toes. Now that changes how he completely changes how he moves because his big toe hurts. So he has to change. He has to shift that weight and his posture completely changes. Exactly the same for dogs. So if something is hurting on one of those front limbs, one of the things that they can start to do is to maybe shift their weight. So if one front leg is hurting a bit more, they'll shift it to the other. If they're both hurting, what they can quite often do is shift it backwards. So you might start to find that their front legs are actually kind of starting to just be placed differently. So normally, you know, dogs should be able to stand as a square or like a rectangle, really. So you might find that one of the legs is like going outwards, but quite often it's kind of coming underneath them. So they're not wanting to put that normal weight onto it. You won't necessarily notice this, but their center of mass will change. So normally their sort of center of mass is just behind their shoulders. Now that might start to change because again they're shifting their weight. So you might find, for instance, that their chest is dropping lower because again they're not wanting to put as much weight through. What else would you notice? So quite often, again, just generally their head carriage will be different. So it might, again, if you think if something hurts, we don't want to put weight through it, so you might find that their head and their neck is actually a lot lower because again, they don't want to be putting that weight through it. And it will have a whole knock-on effect as to how the rest of their body moves as well. So they're going to change how their back end moves. So again, their back, so dogs should, you know, naturally have like a top sort of flat line. Their back may then start to arch a little bit, and you might find that their back legs start to come under them as well. So instead of having a dog that's sort of standing, you know, quite nicely as a square, they're actually, their body position is completely changing and their legs are coming further underneath them. Especially if you're looking from the side, that's when most likely you would start to... Now, don't kind of worry too much about suddenly having to look at these things, but these are just some of the posture changes that you know people, therapists or other vets or what have you may start to notice on them. So these can be just little clues as to what, you know, what we can be looking out for. So posture will most definitely be changing, and it could quite often be gradual as well. It's not necessarily going to wake up one day and they're going to be changing, and this is why sometimes these signs can be quite difficult to spot. Okay, so we know what the signs are, we know what the posture possible changes can be, and it will be different for every dog. It will be, so some dogs don't even look lame, but if both front legs are sort of, you know, are affected, they may not even look lame, but they will be changing how they're using those legs. Okay, so diagnosis. Now, only vets can diagnose, so that's law. I mean, that's just, you know, other people can say what they think, but From a legal perspective, only vets can diagnose. So if you suspect any issues, please talk to your vet. Please, you know, vets are very, very busy people, and I know sometimes people can get frustrated. But when you're making an appointment, if you're concerned, then I would always ask for maybe a vet that has got a specific interest potentially in orthopedics. They can hopefully arrange that for you, so you can see a vet that say has that extra interest, but equally other vets will be able to help you as well. So that's not necessarily something you have to do, but you may want to do that when you're making the appointment. So again, only vets can diagnose. So from a treatment perspective, your vet will talk you through those options. So I won't talk about those so much, because that's a conversation that you can be having with your vet initially. But please know, this is the most important thing I want you to think about. Please know that there is more than you can do. There's more that you can do, as in making your decisions with regards to, it's not just medication and it's not just operations. They're not your only options. There are plenty of other options, and that will be those decisions. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this series, is the decisions that you make with regards to how you want to treat it can be very, very personal. It can be affected by lots of different factors. And so you can maybe ask your vet, you know, what are my other options? Can I talk to other therapists about it? And maybe this is when you start to do your own research about looking at other therapies. Doesn't have to be physio, my dog, but you could, or just physio. There are other therapies that can help manage this condition. And it will depend on the severity of it. Sorry if you can hear a plane going over me. That was just quite noisy. So what I really want, again, I'm going to try and keep this under another couple of minutes, and then I'll hopefully sign off. So what I want you to remember with all of these is that there is lots of things you can do to help. And so these things don't have to necessarily cost money, because I think everyone thinks that everything has to cost money, and it doesn't have to cost money. So there are lots of different things that we can do on a lifestyle basis. And if you do nothing else, as I mentioned a bit earlier on, look at where your dog's bowl is positioned, because actually if you raise that dog bowl, if your dog has been diagnosed with this, or you suspect that they're struggling to bend down, just raise it up. Just raise it up to maybe the height of their front legs, so that when you're looking at them, they're not having to put their head right between their front legs, but their head is actually level with the rest of their spine. That's always a good gauge. And normally the height of their front legs is a good way of kind of measuring that. You don't have to go out and buy anything. I feed Baxter, my dog, off a plant pot or sometimes a chair in the garden. So it's not like you have to rush out and buy anything. You can normally just find something in the house that you can use. So I'm going to post a link on the show notes to this episode to my webpage, where I've got loads of information with regards to this. I also did a research project on how physio can help dogs with elbow conditions. I will post a note there, but please know, please know, this is the biggest takeaway I want you to take away, is that there are lots of options that you can do. It doesn't mean that it's only medication or it's only surgery. There are plenty of things to do. And as I say, my little top tip is raise those bowls, whether it's the dog bowl, the water bowl, or the food bowl, raise both, because that will help alleviate them having to put pressure through and weight through their front end. So I'm going to keep this to 15 minutes as promised. I would love your feedback. I've got lots of information, as I say, on my website. So I will post those links in the show notes. And I look forward to hearing from you. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by Googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.